2 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read one verse together. Verse number 5. If you have a King James Bible, there should be a King James Bible in the pew in front of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, and let's read together, shall we? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? I'm going to talk to you this morning about being sincere. Being sincere. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for salvation that we have through Lord Jesus. Thank you for church. Lord, thank you for the old King James Bible. Thank you, Lord, for one day sending somebody our way and crossing our path in life. And someone sharing the gospel with us, and we trusted you to be our Savior. What a day that was, a day of salvation. And I pray, dear God, that not just that day, but in the years to follow, that we would be as sincere as we were the day that we trusted you as our Savior. And Lord, I think one of the telltale signs of Christianity is the sincerity and honesty of God's people that is dearly lacking today. And I pray, dear God, as the gospel is let out of this place here as we meet, that would go out unfeigned and full of love and charity, and that, Lord, there will be concern and compassion for souls from this place. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that are faithful here. Thank you for the folks that have been faithful all these years, supported. I pray that you bless them. Lord, thank you for the folks that have sacrificed for this church. I thank you for the group of believers that love you and love people. And I pray, dear God, that we just pay attention this morning on sincerity. A little different avenue, different little approach, I believe. But I believe this will be a help if we pay attention and listen. Thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You ought to do a good self-examination of yourself. Now, that's very hard to do because all of us are biased and all of us are prejudiced in some sort of way. But the best way, I believe, to examine yourself is in light of the Word of God, and also when other people bring up things about us individually, personally, that we ought to check it out in light of Scriptures and what God says, and whether it is true that we are as we are proclaimed to be. In other words, are we sincere in what we believe? If you're not sincere, the only three words I can think of on the top of my head are fake, phony, and fraud. I would rather be sincere than a fake, phony, and fraud. Now, again, sincere doesn't mean that you're sinless. Sincere means that you acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you're woeful before God Almighty, that you're wicked and wretched, and that you need God's mercy. There's nothing, you know, just because you're a sinner doesn't mean that you can't be sincere. Now, hopefully that after you've gotten saved, you stop sinning some and you start living for God some. But the truth of the matter is you can still be sincere and still be messed up and just being honest and not trying to make yourself out to be somebody that you're not. So this morning I'm going to deal with sincerity on higher level than what you would normally talk about. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So part of our good works, and the first thing listed as far as our good works, number one, is doctrine. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, doctrine. Religious leaders and doctrine and your sincerity to it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 17 says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You see, there are two groups of people. lost and saved. But yet, you can cut up another two groups of people amongst the total world population of people that are sincere and people that are not sincere. Now, I know this may sound shocking to you, but I believe more Hindus and Buddhists and Muslims, listen to me good, are more sincere in what they believe than so-called God's people believe. I'm going to show you that this morning. I am concerned with people that are not sincerely believing the truth. Again, Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims are lost on their way to hell until they receive Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Jesus said, you must be born again, amen? There's no two ways about it, amen? Jesus said, I am the truth, the life. I'm the truth, the way, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. I'm really botching that one up. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to get to Jesus is through him. The only way to get to the Father is through him. Not Buddha, not Hinduism, not the Muslims, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. I want to be right, but I want to be sincerely right. Because you can know some right things and be insincere in some of the things that you hold. And hopefully I'm going to dissect that this morning in a very clear way. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 10 says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2 that as newborn babes, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word. This book that you have in front of us is a sincere book. This is the sincere word of God, if you have a King James Bible. If you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have a Bible. I suggest you getting a King James, not a new King James, but the King James Bible. And I'll say more about that. I believe people that do not have a King James Bible in the English are not sincere people. I believe every pastor, every religious leader that does not have a King James Bible is not sincere. I believe they are lying, purposefully lying. And I believe they are talking to sincere people that are sitting in the pews that don't know the difference. And my hope is that wherever you end up in life, 5, 10, 20 years from now, if the Lord should tarry, that you would sincerely seek out a church that is sincerely trying to propagate the truth. Those two must meet to do something for God. Because if I was not sincere in teaching the word of God as the word of God, then I would be lying to you. If I knew something was the truth and I taught otherwise to you, then I would be lying to you. And I would not want to be lying to you. And the first thing God lists in Titus chapter number 2, verse 7, for a pattern of good works is your doctrine. What is it that you believe? Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 5, examine yourselves. Some of you need to go into a courtroom and watch cross-examination. You know, television just doesn't cut it, you know. It's Hollywood, it's theatrics. You need to sit down in a criminal court or in a civil court and watch a good attorney do some cross-examination on some witness. It's my favorite part of the trials. Because that's when the truth comes out. That's when the witnesses hem and haw, they hedge about. They say, well, I don't want to answer that. And the judge says, you have to answer that. And they say, well, I'm going to take the fifth. I'm going to plead the fifth on that. And if you plead the fifth, that means it's going to be held against you when it comes time to determine the verdict in the case, especially if you're the party in the case involved. What I'm saying is the cross-examination, or in this case, the self-examination that we do is the most important part of your Christian life to see whether you're sincere or not. And sometimes we'd like to sweep it under the rug and say, well, you know, that doesn't really matter. But I got news for you. I think everything in life matters. Sincerity or being genuine does not mean without sin. It means acknowledging your sin the way God sees you and your sin, taking the right attitude and having the right view of yourself as God sees you, being honest, sincere, and genuine, not trying to be something that you are not. This is not a sermon on how to deal with people. There's another time for that. This is not a sermon on how to treat people fair and how to be just in your dealings with others, or how or why you should take the wrong if you're not wrong. This sermon this morning is on how to deal with, pay attention, lying religious leaders that you know are lying to you because the Word of God in doctrine proves it. You can prove, now I can't prove whether most people are sincere or not. I'd be honest with you, I just can't. I'm not a mind reader. But you and I can prove by the Word of God whether religious leaders are sincere or not. See, as you sit in a pew, I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what your mindset is. I don't know what your past is. I do not know what you're planning to do in the future. But I do know this much. When somebody publicly speaks on doctrinal issues or religious issues, I have the Word of God to tell me whether they're being honest or not. You, likewise, have the Word of God also. And you can tell from the Word of God, if you know the Word of God, if you've read it enough, to know whether religious people are being honest and sincere or whether they're lying to you. As I said before, one of the biggest problems I had before I got saved was it was hard for me to believe that my priest was lying to me for 21 years. I couldn't figure it. I couldn't believe that. I mean, that was the hardest thing for me to believe, that this woman was showing me from the Bible what Jesus said, that you must be born again. And not one time in 21 years when I went to church, while I was lighting my candles, while I was an altar boy, did a priest or a Sunday school teacher ever show me how to go to heaven when I die? Not one time. I couldn't fathom that. I said, why would I be in that church? I didn't go every Sunday, but I went once every 2 or 3 weeks. Why wouldn't they show me what God said in the Bible? Because they were not sincere, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me? Now, I believe some of the people, I don't know, most or some of the people sitting in the pews were sincerely wrong, but they were sincere because they grew up in that kind of same kind of church and tradition I grew up in, like you grew up in. But when you come face to face with truth, and you come face to face with facts, John Adams, I believe, said facts are a stubborn thing. What do you do with the truth then? What do you do with facts? You either, listen to me good, you're either honest and admit that you're wrong and conform to the truth, or you become a very insincere person not wanting to know the truth. At that point in your life, you decide, you choose to become insincere. You choose to reject truth. There are differences. Everybody has differences. Everybody has opinions. Everybody sees things differently. And sometimes the devil uses our differences and our interactions and our dealings as wedges among too many of God's people. And people are upset with each other for the most trivial matters. Most everybody is different. Most everybody sees everything just a little bit different from everybody else. But what I'm talking about today is a very clear area, as you're about to read in the Bible, a very clear area that you can distinguish that most religious people refuse to acknowledge the truth and hence fall into the categories of fake, phonies, and frauds. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I remember I was reading this in the courtroom one day. I was reading my Bible. There's a break in the court. And a clerk was asking me, leaned over and asked me, what are you reading there, John? And I said, I'm reading here, it says the bishop must be married. And the clerk popped it. He says, no, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Well, because I knew he was Catholic, you know. He said, that doesn't say that in the Bible. So I took my New Testament, I had my New Testament with me. I showed it, I said, look what it says. And here's what he said. He was reading what God said in the Bible, the New Testament, and here's what he said. That's not in the Bible. He's reading it, and he says, that's not in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 2. Are you there? My Bible says, a bishop then must be blameless. Now, I'll grant you, there's some differing opinions about the word blameless, because your idea of blameless could be different than my opinion of blameless. Okay? So we can differ on those kind of things. But look at the next word, the next phrase. The husband of one wife. Now, your Bible that you're reading with your God-given eyeball says that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. Now, I'd like to ask Bishop Husband and all the other Catholic bishops where their wives are. I'm asking a plain question. I'm asking a doctrinal question. I'm asking a point-blank question. Why would you be a bishop that is contrary to the very words of God that a third grader can understand? I'll tell you why, because they're not sincere people. The religious leaders I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the people sitting in pews that don't read their Bibles and don't know any better. I was sitting in those pews for 21 years and I didn't know. That is why they did not want me reading the Bible. They want me reading their church literature, their church material. They wanted me reading their liturgical things. But they don't want you reading the Bible, because the Bible will set you free. It'll, ladies and gentlemen, it'll take the handcuffs and the shackles off your minds and off your souls. So here, just one example so far, where the Bible says a bishop must be married. How do you get around that? Well, you do one of two things. You either reject the truth and become a very insincere person, and fall into the categories of these false religious leaders that are fake, phonies, and frauds. When a religious system or a religious belief is completely contrary to the Word of God, then you know that religion or that religious system is not Bible-based. For instance, the Hindu religion or the Muslim religion or the Buddhist religion, we know they are not Bible-based religions because they don't believe the Bible. That is a given. That is why their religions are so much more different than Christianity. They have different gods, all of them false gods. Our God is the Lord Jesus Christ. The tricky part comes when religions use the same words and the same phrases that God's people use, but are still not Bible-based religions. For instance, the Mormons talk about Jesus, but they declare that Jesus is not the Almighty God, that Jesus is a created being. They also believe in the book of Moroni, short for moron, as part of their religious text. We know God says do not add or subtract to the Word of God. So we automatically dismiss them because the Mormons have added the book of Moroni to their canon of religious text. So that's easier for us to say, well, we're not Mormons because they've added the book and they don't believe that Jesus is God, so they're not really Christians. You hear a lot of people say that, and they're right about that. Using the same criteria as the Mormons, the fact that the Roman church includes the Apocrypha as part of their religious text should automatically disqualify the religion as not being Bible-based only, because they include the Apocrypha and also their church traditions on an equal footing with the religious text. In some cases, they treat the traditions higher than their own religious text. They're more concerned with traditions than they are concerned with what the Word of God says. When we come to the Jehovah's false witnesses, I got news for you. They use 66 books in their religious text as their foundation. So why do so many Christians rightfully discount them as being a cult? Well, because they believe that Jesus Christ is a created being and that he is not God, which is contrary to all the scripture. And there are plenty of verses in the Bible that prove that Jesus is God, ladies and gentlemen. But here's the problem. For those of you who enjoy football and hockey and rugby and other blood sports, there's such a thing called a rule book. Now, pay attention. There's only one rule book for the National Hockey League. There's only one rule book for the National Football League. For evangelicals, for those of you who can relate to badminton and ballet, there's only one rule book for badminton and ballet. There's only one book for those gymnastics kind of sports, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. There are not 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 different rule books on how to play football in the National Football League. There are not 5 or 10 or 20 rule books on how to play hockey in the National Hockey League. There's one rule book. But yet, so-called God's people have now hundreds of different rule books. They pick out and choose which one they like instead of the one rule book that we've had since 1611. So when you look and say, why are there so many different opinions of Christianity today? Well, you know what? One of the reasons is a lot of people have different rule books that are not the Word of God. And they tried to change the Word of God and come up with their own rule book to fit their own religious system. Are you sincere this morning? If you're sincere, you would say that you're a sinner deserving hell. And either that you've been saved or you need to be saved. If you're sincere this morning, you would say, you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Jesus Christ saved my soul. I pled for mercy. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my sins. And I'm a child of God because I've been born again. But if you're insincere, then you say, well, you know what? I don't agree with that. And I don't like that. Okay. Well, you're going to meet the God who wrote that one day. You may not like the message, but you're going to meet the God Almighty who wrote this book and gave you that message about being born again. And then God, who knows all the hearts and can read every mind, is going to prove to everybody openly how insincere you really were because you loved your sin maybe, and your pride kept you from being saved and living for God. God's people discount the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses as cults because they either add to the words of God and make Jesus a created being instead of God Almighty. Well, if that's the case, then why is it wrong for others to examine your religion if you have changed, if you have added, if you have subtracted words from the words of God in your religion? I mean, we do that with the Mormons. We do that with the Jehovah's false witnesses. We do that with the Romish church. We do that with any other false religion. Why would it be wrong for the same test to be used on examining what you believe? Does it line up with the scriptures? Or I'm not asking about your personal life this morning. I'm not asking about your sins. I'm not asking about your past. I'm not asking about the things you've done wrong. Right now this morning, I am not concerned about that subject at all. I'm concerned with what you believe. It is very obvious that a false religion that is basing their religion on works to be saved is very contrary to the very words of God, ladies and gentlemen. When a doctrine is completely opposite of that of the Bible, then why is it wrong for others to question, just an honest question, whether your doctrine or your religion is wrong or not? I remember years ago, and this has got to be at least 26 years ago, maybe 27, I remember. We first came here. Billy Graham came to the Albany area. And I don't know what it's called now. It was called the Pepsi Arena, whatever it's called now in Albany, Times Union Center, whatever it was called back then. But he rented that whole place out, and it was jam-packed. Thousands of people went. And I went. But see, I was on the outside with a couple people from our church handing out pamphlets of all the quotes that Billy Graham said that were contrary to the very words of God. We had about maybe, I can't remember, four of us, five, I can't remember. We stayed at the doors, we parked our bodies at the entrances. And all we were doing is giving out pamphlets about, yay big, this wide, you can fold them out, and quote after quote after quote of what Billy Graham said. And people were going in, they're smiling going in. I said, God bless you, they're going in. And a few of them turned around, and they weren't smiling when they turned around. They came back, and I'm telling you, with as much venom as they could, screaming and yelling, why are you doing, don't you know God's blessing him and God's using him? They take these pamphlets and they rip them up in our face and throw them in the trash. How dare you criticize this man, blah, blah, blah. And all I was doing was using Billy Graham's words and comparing the scripture. When you get to the point where you reject truth and you take a man's word more than God's word, you have a problem. I don't care if it's a Baptist preacher or a Catholic priest, you have a problem. Because you're more addicted to a religion than you are to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. All I'm trying to do is use the exact same criteria that you use in examining a false religious system and false religious leaders using only the Word of God to match up what they believe and what they're teaching and what they're saying. Do you believe that hell has fire? That's what the Bible said. That's what Jesus said. He said everlasting fire. Well, if Billy Graham says there's no fire in hell, which one would you rather believe? How can you believe both of them? Don't get mad at the messenger for telling you what the truth is. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Galatians, please. The book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Somebody needs to wake you up and tell you the truth. Somebody needs to be concerned about your life and your soul and your eternity to tell you that one day you're gonna die one day, and you're going to meet the God who wrote this book. Galatians, chapter number 4, verse number 16. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, I'll grant you, sometimes you can tell people the truth the wrong way, with a mean spirit maybe, or with a higher, holier than thou attitude. I grant you that. But I'd rather have the truth given to me by a doctor with lousy bedside manners than a smiling doctor who doesn't know anything and is friendly and kind to me, but is going to kill me in surgery. Which one would you rather have? I'd rather have the man who knows what he's talking about. I'd rather have the man who's very experienced. I'd rather have the man who has had successful surgery after successful surgery instead of the graduate who just came out of school, has no idea what he's doing. You're the first one he's going to operate on. Well, Paul writes, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The messenger of God is not your enemy. He just wants to tell you the truth. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Any religion that teaches you are saved by works is contrary to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Any religious system that teaches you have to do something to go to heaven is a false religion that has false leaders that are teaching sincere people on their way to hell, ladies and gentlemen. That's a nice tune. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'd rather have the theme of Jeopardy playing. Psalm 119, hello, is anybody home? Verse number 89, Psalm 119, verse 89. It's a good thing some things cannot be picked up from this mic, amen. Psalm 119, verse number 89, here's what God says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God does not change because God does not change. It is forever settled in heaven. That's God's word. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 138, please. Psalm 138. Here's verse number 2. You want to worship God correctly, truly? Look what it says. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And here's the reason why. For is like the old English word for because. You know what I'm talking about? Watch this. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, Jesus, I think, is the greatest name on earth, man. I think it's the greatest name in heaven. I really do. I know Jehovah's God. That's his name, too. I understand that. He's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I understand. You know, Jehovah's false witnesses, they make a big thing about God's name is Jehovah. You know, God's name is Jehovah. Yes, one of God's name is Jehovah, I grant you. But you know what God says? That God has magnified his word above all his name. So whether you want to call him the Lord of Lords or King of Kings or Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, whatever, the Savior, whatever you want to call him by his many names, you know what God said? If you want to worship God, make sure you magnify his word above all his name. When you do not have the word of God, you are not glorifying his name. That's for sure. You are definitely not magnifying his name when you do not have the word of God. So what is the word of God? Well, my Bible says, let love be without dissimulation in Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Amos 5:15 says, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. I do not believe that God's people are sincere today. The vast majority, I mean, there are sincere Christians, don't misunderstand me. But you have these evangelicals and others who are praying for revival. God's not listening to their prayer because they're not sincere, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not know where the word of God is, you do not know what the word of God is, you are not sincere, ladies and gentlemen. And God ain't going to hear your prayer. 2 Corinthians 6:6 says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. This is just the introduction for my sermon this morning, so pay attention. It's going to be rapid fire when I start. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Psalm 55, verse 21 says, the words of his mouth, the enemy, were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Now, it's hard for us as religious people to believe that religious leaders would lie to us, but God over and over in the Word of God warns us that religious people will lie to us because the love of money is the root of all evil. And they want your money instead of caring about your soul. Proverbs 26 says, and verse number 20 to 28, I'll not read all of it, but it says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. Remember when Judas came to Jesus in the garden? In Matthew 26, Judas said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Well, do you say that too? Hail, Master, and publicly kiss Jesus, while at the same time denying the very words of God and the doctrines of God and rejecting the truth? Are you sincere? Have you examined yourself? Have you proved your own selves? In John 12, verse number 6, remember when Judas said we ought to take the money and give it to the poor? In John 12, 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you saved? Have you rejected Jesus Christ, or have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? In Matthew 1:25, the New King James Bible takes out the word firstborn. In Matthew 5:44, the New King James Bible takes out bless them that curse you. In Matthew 6:13, the New King James Bible says, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is taken out. In Matthew 6:33, the words of God in the phrase the kingdom of God is taken out. In Matthew 8:29, in the New King James Bible, the word Jesus is taken out. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 13, the New King James takes out to repentance. In Matthew 12, verse 35, the New King James Bible says, of the heart, treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, of the heart is taken out. In Matthew 13, verse 51, the New King James Bible takes out the words, Jesus saith unto them. In Matthew 15, verse number 8, the New King James Version takes out the words, draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. In Matthew 16:3, the New King James Version takes out the words, O ye hypocrites. In Matthew 16, verse number 20, the New King James Bible takes out the word Jesus. In Matthew 17, verse number 21, the New King James Version takes out the entire verse. In Matthew 18, verse number 11, the New King James Version takes out the entire verse. In Matthew 19, verse number 9, the New King James Version takes out, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. In Matthew 19, verse number 17, the New King James Version takes out the word God. In Matthew 20, verse number 7, the New King James Version takes out, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. In Matthew 20, verse number 16, the New King James Version takes out the words, for many be called, but few chosen. In Matthew 20, verse 22, the New King James Version takes out, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. In the New King James Version, the verse, Matthew 23, verse 14, the entire verse is taken out, where it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. That verse is completely taken out. And you think the New King James is just like the Old King James, because that's what the publishers who want to make money want to make you think. In Matthew 27, verse 35, the New King James Version takes out the words that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. In the New King James Version, Matthew 28:9, the words, as they went to tell his disciples, is taken out. In Mark 1:14, of the kingdom is taken out. In Mark 1:31, immediately is taken out. In Mark 2:17, to repentance is taken out. In Mark 6:11, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city, is taken out of the New King James Bible. New King James Version, it's not a Bible. In Mark 6:16, from the dead is taken out. In Mark 7, verse 8, as the washing of pots and cups is taken out. In Mark 7, verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear it. The whole verse is taken out. In Mark 9:24, the word Lord is taken out. In Mark 9, verse 42, in me is taken out. In Mark 9:44, the entire verse is taken out, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Maybe Billy Graham's reading the New King James Version. In Mark 9, verse 46, the entire verse is taken out, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a shame that you know the rule book for the NFL and the NHL better than you know the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's a shame that you're more concerned about the rule book for the Belmont Stakes and the Triple Crown winner than you're concerned about the Word of God. In Mark 9:49, the words, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, and that's talking about hell, is completely taken out. In Mark 10, verse 21, the New King James Version takes out the word, take up the cross. In Mark 11, verse number 10, the words, in the name of the Lord, is taken out. In Mark 13:14, spoken of by the Daniel the prophet, is taken out. In Mark 13:33, and pray, is taken out. And Mark 14, verse 68, and the cock crew, is taken out to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus said. In Mark 15:28, the entire scripture is taken out, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors, is completely taken out. You ready for this one? I have in front of me the precise parallel New Testament, the Greek text with seven or eight other versions listed in the text here. You can read them for yourselves. The New King James Version takes out the entire passage from Mark 16 from verses 9 to 20. Completely eliminated. In Luke 1:28, blessed art thou among women is taken out. In Luke 4:4, but by every word of God is taken out. I wonder why they take that out, huh? They took out, but by every word of God. In Luke 4:8, get thee behind me, Satan is taken out. In Luke 4:41, Christ is taken out. We wonder, well, the New King James Version is just like the old King James, isn't it, Pastor? In Luke 7:31, and the Lord said is taken out. In Luke 9, verses 54 to 56, these words are taken out. Even as Elias did, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now that's the question. What have you been paying attention to? Who have you been listening to? Oh, I see. You're listening to Charles Stanley and Joyce Meyer, aren't you? That do not use the King James Bible. Are you paying attention to me this morning? The most dangerous people on planet Earth, you listen to me good, are religious leaders, are fake phonies and fraud that are leading sincere people to hell because the people sitting in the pews don't know they need to be born again. Because they don't have the truth. But I'm telling you, these religious leaders, they know better. They're just lying because they love the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. And I'm only in Luke right now. Luke 11, verses 2 to 4. Which art in heaven is taken out. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth is taken out. But deliver us from evil is taken out. In Luke 11, 29, the prophet is taken out. Luke 17, 36, the whole verse is taken out. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Luke 21, verse 4, cast in unto the offerings of God is completely taken out. Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said is taken out. Luke 22, verse 64, they struck him on the face is taken out. Luke 23, verse 17, the whole verse is taken out, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. In Luke 23, verse 38, letters of the Greek and Latin Hebrew is completely taken out. Luke 23, 42, the Lord is, Lord is taken out. Luke 24, verse 6, he is not here but risen is taken out. Well, happy resurrection day, huh? Luke 24, verse 40, the whole verse is taken out. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. In Luke 24, verse 49, of Jerusalem is taken out. In Luke 24, 51, and carried up into heaven is taken out. In John 1, 14, begotten is taken out. In John 1, 27, preferred before me is taken out. In Luke, in John 3, 13, which is in heaven is taken out. In John 3, 15, should not perish is taken out. In John 4, 42, the Christ is taken out. In John verses 3 to 4, the following words are completely taken out. Waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. The whole thing is completely taken out. How can you say that the New King James Bible, no, I'm sorry, the New King James Version is just the same thing as the old King James Bible? Someone's lying to you. Someone is being very insincere to you and not telling you the truth. If they're being insincere to you about that, I wonder what else they're being very insincere about. In John 6, 47, on me is taken out. In John 6, 69, that Christ, the Son, is taken out. In John 11, 41, where the dead was laid is taken out. In John 16, 16, because I go to the Father is taken out. In John 17, 12, in the world is taken out. You think it's the same book? You think it's the same rule book? In Acts 2:30, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ is completely taken out. In Acts 7, verse 30, of the Lord is taken out. In Acts 7, 37, him shall ye hear is taken out. The whole verse of Acts 8, 37 is taken out, which says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the only qualification to get baptized, and is completely taken out. In Acts 9, verses 5 and 6, and the Lord said, is taken out. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, is completely taken out. I can go on and on and on through the rest of the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, of words that are completely taken out with no Greek text to support the New King James Version for changing it? Well, I ask you, are you sincere? Are you sincere in what you believe? Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Peter, chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Where will you spend eternity? Where are you going to go when you die? Have you asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul? Did you ever see the front cover, the outside cover of a New King James Version? Have you ever seen it? It's got three things like this, like that, and a circle around in them. In other words, there's three sixes. Pay attention. There's three sixes on the cover, 666 on the cover emblem of the New King James Version. Go to the bookstore and look at it yourself. But listen to this. Listen to this. That symbol that's on the cover is called a triquetta, or triquetta is a satanic symbol. I know you don't believe this, but Thomas Nelson Publishers, that publishes the New King James Version for money, imprints the satanic symbol of three sixes right on the front cover of the New King James Version, the same symbol that the group Led Zeppelin displays as their symbol for the rock band. The members of Led Zeppelin are involved in Satanism, and their guitarist Jimmy Page bought Satanist Aleister Crowley's mansion, and Aleister Crowley is the one who promotes the what they call the Hierophant, if I can call it. And he's the one, he takes from the tarot card, has the same symbol that the New King James Version has imprinted on their front cover. The Hierophant is a priest in the occult and in the Eleusinian. There's three circles, and in the top of the wand or his rod in his hand, there's three intertwined circles. That's the exact same New King James Version symbol. I wonder where they got it from, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you ever watched the show Charmed. It deals with spells and witch practices. The New King James Version is the show's primary symbol of witchcraft. The Book of Shadows is commonly used in witchcraft and Satanism, has the same symbol on its cover. The Craft, which is a witch's book of shadows, has the exact, I have the pictures right here if you want to see them, has the exact same emblem on their book that the New King James Version has on it. The Craft Companion, which is a witch's journal, has the exact same emblem on their cover that the New King James Version has on it. And I can, jewelry after jewelry have the same kind of emblems that Wicca supports and witchcraft supports. The book Blood on the Doorpost was written by a former Satanist, Bill and Sharon Schnobelen. And they say that the New King James Version symbol is the same as the Antichrist symbol of the same thing that the satanic cults use. It's imprinted on the New King James Version. But they say, the New King James publishers say, it's just like the King James Version. And you believe what they say. The word damned or damnation has been taken out of the New King James Version completely. Hell has been removed in 2 Samuel 22:6, Job 11:8, Job 26:6, Psalm 16:10, Psalm 18:5, Psalm 86:13, Psalm 116:3, Isaiah 5:14, Isaiah 14:15, Isaiah 28:15, Isaiah 28:18, Isaiah 57:9, Jonah 2:2, Matthew 11:23, Matthew 16:18, Luke 10:15, Luke 16:23, Acts 2:27, Acts 2:31, Revelation 1:18, Revelation 6:8, Revelation 20:13 and 14, the word hell has been completely removed by the New King James Version. The word devils, the plural, is not to be found in the New King James Version. They replace it with the word demon. Webster defines demon as divinity, spirit, attendant power, or spirit, but devil is as the personal supreme spirit of evil. 2 Timothy 2:15 takes out the word study in your Bible. It's the only place that God says for you to study your Bible, and they take the word study out because they don't want you to study your Bible. They don't want you to read your Bible. The preface to the New King James Version says a special feature of the New King James Version is its conformity to the thought flow of the 1611 Bible. The new edition, while much clearer, are so close to the traditional. You know, I can't deal with the these and the thous. It takes away the ETH endings because they're too difficult for you to understand, don't you know? Do you realize that the King James Bible is the only version that puts a ye and thou to make you understand if it's singular or plural? The New King James puts you in there. You don't know if it's singular or for plural people. But the King James Bible makes it very clear. Jesus says thou to singular, ye to plural. But the New King James Version doesn't want to make it clear for you because they don't want you to know the truth. Matthew 7:14 changes narrow to difficult is the way. It's not difficult to get saved. It's very narrow. It is not difficult to get saved, but the New King James Version says it's difficult. In Matthew 18:26 and Matthew 20:20, the New King James Version removes worshiped him, just like the Jehovah's Witness New World Translation does. In Acts 17:22, it changes the word superstitious to religious. And on and on and on we go. Are you changing the word of God to fit your opinion and your idea of what God is? 1 Peter chapter number 3, are you there yet? Look at verse number 15. We'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. And ladies and gentlemen, I didn't even cover one-third of the verses that they've changed. As a matter of fact, let me just say this before I close. The New King James Version removes the word Lord 66 times. The New King James Version removes the word God 51 times. The New King James Version removes the word heaven 50 times. In just the New Testament alone, the New King James Version removes 2,289 words from the King James Bible. The New King James Version makes over 100,000 word changes. And a religious leader, teacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist is trying to tell you it's just the same. Someone is lying to you and being insincere to you, ladies and gentlemen. And your soul is depending on it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Do you know what you believe? Or have you just made up what you believe? Where is the book that your religion is based on? Where is the foundation that your church's belief and doctrine is based on? Is it on a book that some publisher made and printed for money? Or is it found in the King James Bible? The reason why the King James Bible is so hated today, because it is the very word of God. Have you ever noticed all the other versions are not hated? They're not despised. They're not attacked. The only word that's being attacked is God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is going to try to poison your mind with lies and something that is not the word of God. Do you have an answer for what you believe? Have you examined yourself and said, "What is it that I believe? Who am I? What am I? Am I a child of God? Am I saved? Where am I going to go when I die? I ask you the question. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, you've not been baptized, you need to be baptized this morning. The water's ready. Maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about something else I didn't speak about this morning. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every answer to your life's problems is found in this book, the King James Bible. Problems, questions for marriage, relationships, children, family, health, finances, church, eternity, right here in this book. If you don't have the very words of God, then you're reading man's words. If I were you, I would urge you to get the Word of God, the King James Bible. Let's all stand, shall we?